The National Broadcasting Company presents Faith in Action, a program designed to bring you the viewpoints of those of many beliefs. This week, you will hear the fourth in a series of five reports from the 16th Conference on Science, Philosophy, and Religion, the overall theme of which was Challenges to Traditional Ethics, Government, Politics, and Administration. Today, we continue with part two of a discussion on the interplay of the great traditions and political conduct. The participants are the Reverend John Lafarge, S.J., Associate Editor of America, Dr. Ben Zion Boxer, Rabbi of the Forest Hills Jewish Center, New York, Dr. Richard P. McKeon, Charles F. Gray Distinguished Service Professor of Philosophy and Greek at the University of Chicago, Roger L. Shin, Professor of Christian Ethics at the Union Theological Seminary, and Richard Gard, Department of Religion, Yale University. Father Lafarge.
We're continuing today a discussion of a discussion. Now, in this talk, I'd like to bring out the very interesting and very vital, possibly too vital, and too interesting a topic to be quite safe, about the relation of ethics to politics. After all, in this present electoral campaign, we're very much concerned about the ethical, about the moral consciousness of the various candidates, and not only their efficiency, but what kind of people are they? What are their moral standards? And consequently, in thousands and millions of circles or minds throughout the country, the relation of ethics to politics is being disputed or discussed in one form or another. So the question comes, what happens to the moral life in a political society? The question is, for instance, is a political career is, in spite of its evasions and its compromises and the various unpleasant features that necessarily come to seeking office in a democracy, is it of itself a political ideal, something that could be looked on as a great lofty career for a person going into it? So I'm going to ask members of our panel here for their various views on the question of what happens to moral life in a political society. How does the moral man relate himself to the rather grim and shifting and evasive aspects of our political and democratic world? Perhaps, possibly, Dr. McKeon, you might have liked to make some remark on that point.
You've asked a question which has a double answer. I would answer that a moral life is impossible except in a political community, and therefore morality depends on the political context. And conversely, the moral standards must be applied to the political community. I think that our problems today are due in good part to the unfortunate fact that the political has become almost a synonym in the ordinary mind, in the ordinary speech that we engage in, for the immoral. And conversely, the influence of society, the other directedness, tends likewise to be a degradation.
Those are rather strong words, degradation. It make me feel uncomfortable. Could you explain that just a little bit more?
Yes, I think that we read a great deal about the moral situation today. We read about how anti-intellectual we are, how anti-rational, how we are given to materialism and mass culture. All of this is due to the effect of society on the individual. I would like to raise the question of whether it isn't precisely the organization that we criticize in the organization man, which might be made the basis of higher ideals in ethics and therefore be given a moral dimension.
Dr. McKeon, is it not true that when people become cynical and talk about the organization man or talk in terms of contempt about politics, that they fail to realize that by that very cynicism, they are creating the kind of politics and they're creating the kind of political order which they abhor. In other words, on the one hand, a person stands aloof from society and refuses to, so to say, soil his hands by trying to give it a more creative direction, to moralize it, and then turns around and casts stones upon that society because it doesn't conform to his ideal.
Yes, I would agree. These are the two questions that we ought to ask. What has been the effect of the political society on the individual? And what could the individual do to improve the moral aspects of the political society?
Well, if I may jump in here, Father Lafarge, and say something about the contemporary American situation.
I'm very glad you're doing that, Dr. Shin, because that comes right to the point.
I'm very much disturbed at the viewpoint of a great many people who protest whenever our churches and synagogues start acting or talking about political issues. Now, I will quite grant you that most of us do not go to church to have a preacher tell us how to vote, but if the time comes when our churches cease to make us more aware of the ethics of our national life, if they remove us from all this, then Professor McKeon's word degradation is not a bit too strong for what happens to our religion and our ethics.
It would seem to me that here again there are two aspects that are important. One, the application of standards. If we have standards that we don't apply, they're not standards. Secondly, the need to bring our standards to bear on controversial issues.
Right, sir.
Certainly the whole question of standards brings up the point that the history seems to bring out. I wonder if you'd agree with this, Dr. Gard, that the often the people who cause the most devastation in the world have been people who have been politically too moral, as it were, that there is a form of political moralism which is immoral, namely the ideology. The great ideologists, the great fanatics, are very often people of one-track moral minds. And from your observation of the, particularly the Asian scene, I wonder if you'd have a comment to make on that.
As I've been listening to the discussion as it develops, I've been trying to picture in my mind how an Asian reaction might be. I put that in the singular for sake of time. In the past, the Asians interrelated ethical conduct and political conduct and prided themselves in that tradition. In modern times, they've experienced the influence of westernized political institutions and together with that, often, industrialized institutions operating in Asia. The Asians have often regarded those westernized political and industrial institutions as being without ethical conduct. And the Asians themselves have prided that they maintained the ethical conduct in their life. However, as the Asians themselves are acquiring and developing political institutions and industries and that which are largely of Western origin, they also are beginning to worry about this lack or apparent lack of ethical conduct in modern organizational life.
Dr. Gard, wouldn't you say that when the Asians speak as they do about the West, that they are identifying the West with some of its technology, without taking into consideration some of the ethical and the moral resources of the West? I have in mind, for example, the great institution of political democracy now are very concerned for ethics, and our ability to apply ethics presupposes, does it not, at least some degree of political freedom which enables an individual, a citizen, to function, to criticize, and to call for social change.
Yes, I agree with you. Most of the Asians have been living only in Asia. What they know of science is simply its technological products and not the methods of science. What they know of political institutions such as democracy is the end result of perhaps even in colonial rule. I don't think they've had the opportunity of understanding how a Western type of ethic can function any Western or Asian society.
Aren't we also faced with the fact that there were, in both traditions, despotisms as well as democracies? There was in, let's say, some forms of Buddhism, such as an emperor in India tried to set up, democratic elements. There were despotic elements, too. And part of our problem of politics and ethics is in this interaction by which democracy may emerge for the institutions and freedom for the individual.
Quite agree. On this point, I think, is where discussions among the Asians and among us would have a common denominator.
It seems to me very often very refreshing if you talk to the Asians, even if you may not quite agree with them, you get a fresh point of view. And like the young man who told me he wanted to get rid of the untouchables in India by his own unaided efforts, you feel that they, in spite of their antiquity of their traditions, that they nevertheless are very often approaching this thing with a certain freshness of youth, which is, I think, extremely encouraging thing.
I wonder whether we could bring you, Father Lafarge, to your concluding remarks by reminding you that we are talking about the good state and the good man. And unfortunately, in our present situation, as in the past, we must remember an ancient problem. Aristotle said that the good man and the good citizen are seldom the same. They're the same only in a good state.
Well, that's, of course, one of the disturbing remarks Aristotle made, which we have to understand his sense. If we took it too literally, the good man and the good citizen are two different people, it would be rather disturbing. But on the other hand, there is the very profound question of the effect of a deep moral conviction, of a real moral conviction, on public life. And that's the question which I think we can very well ask both our and all of our political candidates, that when you are confronted with a tremendous moral decision, such as the agonizing decisions that are going to come in the present world, and questions of life and death for everybody, are you going to face up to them with the same moral integrity with which you would have refrained from forging a check or stealing your neighbor's wife?
You have been listening to Faith in Action, presenting the fourth in a five-part series of reports from the 16th Conference on Science, Philosophy, and Religion, held recently at the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. The Reverend John Lafarge, S.J., Dr. Ben Zion Boxer, Professors Richard P. McKeon, Roger L. Shin, and Richard Gard were the participants. Next week's topic is Suggested Principles of Ethical Conduct in Government, Politics, and Administration. We hope you will be with us then. Vic Roby speaking. This pre-recorded program has been an NBC Public Affairs presentation.